Carrie and Tommy about to go off.
Carrie and Tommy are about to get a little wild in this podcast. If money feels a little wild, NAB's right there with you. From weekly groceries to the yearly holiday, whatever matters to you, NAB can help wrangle it. NAB, more than money. Carrie Bickmore
and Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
Yeah. Yes, welcome to it for your Thursday afternoon. How we doing, guys?
Happy birthday to you.
What about our singing?
Oh, no, it was good.
Happy birthday, Jesse.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Happy birthday to Sammy and our team. Happy birthday to my cousin Fran, the beautiful Fran, who said to me, do you know I've never met anybody that has the same birthday as me, and yet it's your birthday, Jesse.
Everyone.
Sammy's birthday today as well.
Yes. Jesse.
Yes.
Your present is on the way.
Ooh.
Yes. For
what
Sammy,
did you get him?
For Sammy, we got him a mild concussion, so I didn't want to get you the same thing.
Yeah, his is only mild now.
I think you should stop talking about his mild concussion.
What do you think?
Because it's severe. What?
It is quite bad.
Guys, it's concussed.
I know. It was for his birthday.
It was last year.
We
love you
all. We got
him
the same present. Lingus.
We have a big show ahead. We have $100,000 on the line in the time game.
But up next, because
you're going to inspire me.
Yeah, I got a surprise for you that will inspire you and potentially the whole nation. Let's find out.
Carrie and Tommy.
Driving you home from 3 till 6. It is Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Ooh, Bickers, how long is it? How long is it now?
Until the weekend.
Until Great Wall of China marathon.
2 weeks.
2 weeks. So your training's been going great. You've been training your absolute ass off.
Yep.
And congratulations. But I thought it is getting close. It's that time you need a bit of a pep talk and a bit of inspiration just to keep you going. So it's not kind of same. Mm-hmm. I've got a special guest for you. This incredible woman is the current record holder for the half marathon, the event which you are doing on the Great Wall of China
in an
incredible time of 1 hour and 48 minutes. Would you please welcome to the show, Melanie Newton. G'day, Mel.
Hello.
Mel,
I'm going to smash your title.
Mel,
that's a joke. No chance.
What an amazing time. Mel, is this true that you ran it in 2011 and that's your time from then and that record still stands?
That is correct, yes.
Oh, my God.
Amazing.
1 hour and 48. That's insane, Mel.
Yeah, it's, you're bringing back a lot of memories for me. It feels like a lifetime ago, but it's nice to look back. Yeah.
Had you just had a bub as well?
Yeah, he was 9 months old.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. So when would you have started training for it? How old was Bub?
I sort of made the decision when he was about 4 months old, 5 months old, that I was going to do it.
What makes you think with a four-month-old, I reckon I got to train for a half marathon in China?
Well, it's a bit of a weird story. I was I've always loved to run, and my family used to give me quite a bit of stick about it. So I used to give them some stick back, and I said I have found the hardest run in the world, and it's the Great Wall of China. So it was. I never really had any serious intention of taking it on. And as it turned out, my mum ended up terminally ill with cancer when Bub was 3 months old. And she, in our goodbyes, she actually said to me, life's too short, go and do your run of China. So, within the month I made the decision, and I'd always done some running and some sport and that sort of thing. So it wasn't completely left field, but the fact that it was actually happening, and I mean, it's true. Life's too short. If you've got an opportunity to do something, do it.
And she never got to know that you completed it and that you smashed it and held the record.
No, but, you know, I think there's a whole heap of weird things that go on, you know. I would say we had a pretty rough 24 hours going into the event itself, and the minute they said go, everything changed. The weather changed, the wind blew the clouds away. It was, I don't know, everything fell into place magically is how I would say it.
Mel, I can imagine there was probably a fair few emotions running through your body when you crossed that finish line.
I was pretty determined. We'd been through some challenges with the baby and being in such a remote part of China too. It's 10, 14 years ago, restaurants and that sort of thing, we relied very heavily on the local food. So the hotel the night before was quite remote. And as I had sort of been, I was very scared actually about what was going to be presented, and the menu was feet and hearts and eyes and all of that sort of thing. So we had, I'm not sure how that goes now because it was many, many years ago, but we had some dry food packed for the baby anyway. So that was our pre-race meal.
That's funny you say that, because everyone's been saying to me, because it's going to be so hot and the conditions are so tough on the wall, to make sure I eat well the night before and, you know, eat a bowl of pasta and do this and make sure you have your banana before you run. And I was like, I don't even know if I'm going to have access to all of that. What would your advice be?
So we did pack some dry rice bubbles and some uncooked rice and tuna, that sort of just basic stuff, so that we had what we called emergency food. I'd probably suggest maybe taking some bottles of water, which you'll be able to get before you hit that part of China anyway, because that was the other thing. Like, I was a little bit underprepared for that. I was like, can I drink the water on course? So,
and do you realise afterwards that you could have, or you definitely shouldn't have, and it was good that you had your own water?
Well, I didn't take my own water, and I didn't drink any water on course, so I didn't take the risk.
What did you drink?
Nothing.
Wow.
Oh, Mel.
That's winning attitude, because I like it.
Wasn't it hot?
It was fine. It had been very cloudy, traditionally cloudy and overcast and muggy, and there was a wind that morning and it just blew it away. So the views were spectacular. The wall was amazing. It's quite an adventure. Oh, I'm impressed that you're taking it on.
I just can't get past the fact you didn't drink any water. That's all I can think about. I've got plans to carry like 40 bottles all over my body in different places.
If I was to do it now and be unprepared, then I would. I'd have one of those vests and I'd have the water carriers. I've matured a little bit and got a bit of common sense about me now, but I was not an athlete status back then. I had no idea what I was doing. So,
Melanie, this has been awesome. Thank you so much for joining us.
That's all right. Thank you. Good luck.
Carrie and Tommy.
Be Thursday afternoon. It is Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little for the drive home.
Because I know there was a lot of internal and external struggles and pressures to talk about the epidemic that is violence against women by men in this country. And your words yesterday on the show, and for a fair reason, it's women shouldn't have to do anything about this. It's men committing the crime. But the words that you wrote down and then I read out have been viewed a lot of times online, hopefully by a lot of men.
Well, it's interesting you say that, hopefully by a lot of men. So I've been absolutely astounded by the reaction, they were my words, but so beautifully delivered by you yesterday on our show. We're going to play a little bit for you again. If you missed it yesterday, you can go to our socials as well and see the full letter that I wrote. In a state of anger, exhaustion, complete and utter at a loss of what to say and what we should do about the violence that's being committed to women in this country at the moment. And when I wrote it, I thought no one's going to listen to me say it. And that also makes me angry. But I thought no one's going to listen to me say it. I'm just, you know, that woman from TV and radio, what's she going on about again? And I thought, how do I get people to understand, men in particular, how we're feeling, you know, and have them not switch off the moment we open our mouths? And I thought, what if a man said my words, and that's what made me think for you to do it. And I'm so glad that you did do it, because there were so many people that have viewed, shared and commented on this post. It's been viewed over 3 million times. It's been shared more than 40,000 times, which is the important bit, because we want men to see this. And I would encourage more men in high profile positions to share this post, because as you would expect, it is predominantly women who are commenting under this post. It's because it's women that are experiencing this violence, but it's men that now need to do something. So if you are a man and you did watch it and you feel something, please comment on it and please share it, because things are only going to change if you guys get involved. Mm-hmm. Here is a tiny bit of the letter that I wrote that Tommy read out yesterday on our show.
We shouldn't have to march to draw attention to this issue. You know what the issue is. Please do something more and now. Government, stop building another freeway for a moment. Build a safer future for our daughters. This is not political. This is not a matter of opinion. The facts speak for themselves. Every 4 days, a woman in Australia is violently killed. Do something and stop killing them.
If you're a man and you saw it, please comment it. Please share it. Please do something.
Carrie and Tommy.
Benson Boone, that is beautiful things for your Thursday afternoon. It's Carrie and Tommy.
Speaking of beautiful things.
Oh, thanks, Carrie. It's good to be here.
Chris Hemsworth.
Oh.
And Anya Taylor-Joy.
Yes.
The exquisite creatures that they are. And joining us on our show next.
They are.
Hemsworth, up yes. next.
Carrie and Tommy. Carrie and Tommy.
You drive home this afternoon, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
What an amazing movie. Furiosa, a Mad Max saga. It is in cinemas the 23rd of May. Would you please welcome Chris Hemsworth and Anya Taylor-Joy.
Thank you very much.
Oh, it was so wonderful. It was so wonderful, but so stressful.
You jumped for about 2 days God. Afterwards.
Did you intend to give people heart attacks?
Hopefully not fatal ones, but like we definitely, yeah, we want to get your blood going.
You wanted there to be some stirring of emotion and the adrenal glands to be pumping, yeah. A bit like when we watched Fury Road, I had the same experience. I remember sitting there just kind of locked in this position and every time I see it, it still has the same reaction. So we can blame George Miller for that.
Yeah. George.
I don't want to be dismissive of you, Chris, because you know how much we love you in this country.
Please do.
But I have to say, Anya, holy cow, you were, I'm obsessed with you. You were phenomenal in this movie. Yeah. And I said this on air as soon as we'd seen it. I don't watch action movies. I don't like them. And I loved it.
Oh, thank you so much. You know, she really is just the most exceptional character. I'm sure that Charlize would agree. It is such an honor to get to be in her skin and to get to walk the path that she takes. You know, it was really an extraordinary experience, not just making the movie, but afterwards. It's left a really huge impression on me.
Anya, do they tell you to be humble, or is that just you naturally? Because you should just say, yeah, I killed it. The character wasn't even any good, but I owned it and made it excellent.
She killed it.
Thank you, guys. It's a really beautiful thing to be a part of, and like I'm not just saying this because I'm in Australia. It was so wonderful to be welcomed by such cool people to this incredible country. It's the longest I've ever lived anywhere in my entire adult life is in Sydney and Broken Hill.
That's so weird.
I know. I was walking around in London and I met my air stewardess from Sydney to Broken Hill. And I was like, what? What do you mean? That's very specific.
Small country.
Chris, Carrie's got a bit of it. Are you going to bring it up with Chris?
Oh, now? Yeah. Oh, I feel like we need to have a nice chat.
Carrie's got a bit of an issue, Chris.
This is early to be doing this, Chris, because I have more questions about the movie to come, but sure, let's get this out the way. So a committee met and obviously decided that you're one of the hottest men on the planet. However, I saw you at a pub at an event and you did something that I have to be honest and tell you, it was one of the unhottest things I've ever seen.
Was that dancing? A good man.
You arrived at a party with a camping tin full of poached chicken to eat while we all ate schnitzels and yummy stuff because Thor over here, I'm guessing, or Mad Max over here.
This is a big sigh of relief here. There's plenty of stories of me at a pub that start up with, I saw you at a pub and you're like, no, no, no. And I was like, please don't say that. So great. Yeah, that was me.
No. Hey, you got to eat your poached chicken at home. You can't bring it in a camping tin to the pub, to the Byron pub. You can't.
To the Byron pub, do I really? Oh, yeah. Look, I'm still very happy that that's all that happened. I don't even remember doing that. What were you doing in the camping tin?
I don't know. You had your poached chicken in it, and then I watched you take the lid off, and you and Elsa ate poached chicken out of a camping tin, and I thought, this is not the Hollywood rock and roll lifestyle.
Good woman. So confused.
It's a good woman.
Well, can you share the schnitzel with me next time? Because
absolutely. Yeah, your brother was getting stuck into the good stuff, but I just assumed you were training for something a bit more.
Oh, I probably was. It gets a little boring. Yeah, the broccoli, rice, chicken scenario. Yeah. Yeah.
I applaud you.
I've changed my ways, though. We can have a pub meal soon. And
great. And you'll have a Palmer. Great.
And a pot. Hot in a Palmer.
As we said, the movie's fantastic. It's also a who's who of spotting Australian actors in it, but as well as just much of our beloved actors. Chris, was your whole family in the movie?
My dad was in it. My dad, my wife, and my mum's not in it. My two boys came to set, got dressed up. We were told they were going to be in it, but I don't think they are.
No.
That's
brutal.
George, I think they got cut out. They didn't make the final thing.
They
were dressed up as little wasteland kids, which is kind of how they look normally, you know, covered in dirt and animal skin.
Your kids are so cool.
Yeah, my kids are violent. That's who I'd take with me if I had to survive the wasteland.
Yeah, take your children.
I'd be like, don't let me unleash them. And just send them into the fray. And everyone would be like, all right, have it. Take it all. There's the water, the fuel.
Actually, the difference between wasteland, in terms of a style sense, wasteland and like second generation Byron Bay is pretty similar.
Yeah, it is. It's wasteland Byron chic.
Chic.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Well, that was I just turned up to rehearsals dressed like that, and George said, "Well,
wait a second.
You're onto something.
You're on a head.
This is leather strapped, whatever it is. I don't know."
Chris and Anya, we do have to take a break, but you're going to stick around because we want to talk to you about your nose, Chris, and what was wrong with it in the movie. We will have more with Chris Hemsworth and Anya Taylor-Joy up next.
Gary and Tommy.
Gary and Tommy for your Thursday arvo, and Furiosa, a Mad Max saga, hits Aussie cinema screens on May 23, and the stars, Chris Hemsworth and Anya Taylor-Joy, are still with us.
Yeah, I loved the film, and I normally don't care for action movies, if I'm being completely honest, but Chris, we've got to talk about the nose, because there were moments where I was giggling to myself thinking I'm not meant to be smiling and laughing right now, but this prosthetic nose has really undone me. Is it true that it was your idea, Anya?
I said to George, listen, if you want me to give up my life and come and move out to Australia, I will only do it if Chris Hemsworth is given a huge nose. No, it was not my idea. But I will say, the first time I saw Chris, I was so excited by it. This man does not sit still, and he endured what, like, usually, unfortunately, is reserved for actresses, which is 5 hours in the makeup chair every single day that he showed up.
It was the prosthetic.
Hats off to you.
Oh, thank you. It was prosthetic nose. It was the glue in the face, and then actual yak hair as the beard.
As one does.
And then wigs and all sorts of things. The nose was fun. The nose was, there was a sort of imagery of emperors and so on, and Roman statues that George was pulling from and wanted this sort of proud bridge of the nose. And then we met one of the stunt guys who had this broken nose, and George said, that looks cool. And they cast his nose from a mold.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Just, I feel like at some stage, movies are going to cotton on they can actually just hire ugly people, because instead they just get the hottest people in the world like you guys and then put prosthetics on. And it's like, yo, there's people out there, like, see the guy they molded the nose off? Just get him.
He's like, why didn't you give me the job? Yeah. He'll do the sequel or the prequel.
Is it true there's ex-crims in it?
Yeah. It's the most eclectic group of people. So people who you know from the industry, people that are in the films 45 years ago, people who have just started acting, new, some people just out of prison. And the wonderful thing about George, who just, you know, fascination with different personalities and people from different walks of life and wants to capture that on screen.
Yeah.
And the guys who were out of prison had found acting while doing time and completely transformed their life and their outlook, and this was what they wanted to do. And there was, discovered the artistry in an art form that where they could express themselves in a pure way. And so, they're a wonderful group of people, and hats off to George for assembling that gang.
Anya, do you mind? I know we've got to wrap up. I need to ask you a really nerdy question because I'm obsessed with chess, and obviously no one loves you from the Queen's Gambit. Did you play chess before? Did you learn to play chess? Do you love chess, or was that just acting?
No, I had never played chess before. As a kid, I used the pieces almost like in a fantasy game. Like I would move them around more like Harry Potter. And then I learned to play chess for the show. And that character was so close to me that I've had to stay away for a while. I gave that character a loss of myself, and I kind of needed the separation in order to be able to be myself without her again. Okay. So I'm looking forward to being able to play chess in a more casual way. So when you've got Beth Harmon in your head, it's like not casual at all. I'm looking forward to chill chess.
We love the movie. We loved you, Anya. And we love you, Chris, as always. Thank you, guys.
Thank you guys so much. Thanks so much, loving the movie. Seriously.
Thank you.
Thanks,
guys.
Good to talk to you.
Gary and Tommy.
And if you think you know how long 5 seconds is, you could win $100,000.
Or could you play the time game
later on.
And we'll find out how much it is for. But we were just chatting off air then. Of course, we just had a Hemsworth on the show.
Yeah, with Chris Hemsworth and Anya Taylor-Joy.
Yes.
Fabulous pairing
and
in a movie.
We found out that one of our staff members has a fair bit of a history with old Hemsworth. Anyway, we're going to chat about that next.
Carrie and Tommy.
Be Thursday, Arvo. It's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Now, it is not just us, because we've just had Chris Hemsworth on the show promoting Furiosa, fantastic movie.
Yeah.
But then... didn't the gossip start when you
went? I know, because I was talking about how I'd been out with Chris, as I mentioned to Chris, and saw him bring his tin of protein chicken.
He did not seem to remember that outing.
No, I thought at the time that must have been how he rocked up to all pubs, but maybe that was just a one-off.
Maybe when he was in full shred.
For Thor. Anyway, we got chatting about Hemsworth run-ins.
Yes.
Did Lizzie have a story for us, our producer?
Producer
Lizzie.
My
God, we had to rearrange the whole rundown because this was so pressing. And I think you listening will agree this had to get on air.
Stop. It's not me indirectly.
No, we know it's not. That's why we're saying this is ridiculous.
So I mentioned to my friend that Chris Hemsworth was going to be on the show. And she's like, Oh, my God, I really regret not getting him to come in to open my store. So she... owned a store back in the day. And I was like, hang on, what do you mean, mate?
Lizzie, don't bury the lead.
No.
What shop? What shop?
The Hip Hop Shop.
But it was called The Hip Hop Shop.
Yeah.
Shop. The Hip Hop Shop. What happens at The Hip Hop Shop?
They just sell clothing, like hip hop clothing.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
So clothing, but bigger.
Yeah, so stuff basically. Like baby fat, all that FUBU. Sort of stuff. Not FUBU, but...
Kappa?
Oh. I love the attitude.
anyway,
so what do you mean she regrets? Like a lot of people would regret that they didn't ask Chris Hemsworth to do something, but she had the opportunity to?
She had the opportunity to, but this was back in the day when he was on Home and Away. So his uncle...
Nothing says hip-hop like the young kid from Home and Away.
So his uncle was at one of the tradies working on a store and he's like, oh, do you want my nephew to come down and open up your store during the launch? And she's like, who is he? And he's like, oh, he's on Home and Away. And she's like, oh, nah. And she
and
regrets
it was Chris Hemsworth.
And she regrets it.
Do you reckon that was a slight? But that could have been Chris Hemsworth's sliding doors moment. And if he'd gone to the hip-hop shop.
I know.
Potentially.
Maybe he'd that would have set his style for the rest of his life.
Well, I see, what was the other thing you told me and there was 14 people removed from you?
So an old friend of mine, her brother's now wife, dated Chris Hemsworth and then it just didn't work out. So she's like, no, and met her current husband. And it's like, no, I'm into him more. and is obviously married to him now, but she could have been married to Chris Hemsworth.
I mean, that's a much better story.
But hang on.
You should lead with that one, I reckon, other than the store opening one.
It's my brother's father's sister's uncle.
No, it's not. It's closer
once met
than
a guy.
That. It's a person
a
she knows.
An old friend.
An old friend.
Brother.
So someone who Izzy doesn't know anymore.
Have you made this story up, Lizzie?
So Izzy, it's someone you don't know anymore. And it's their what? Their
her brother's wife. But
well, we were talking about how a friend in here, know. Another producer said their friend's sister was once dating the guy and broke up with her, and then he went on to date Margot Robbie.
I don't think you're appreciating that this is someone that Liza doesn't know anymore.
Who's a former friend.
She still exists. We just don't talk anymore.
Oh, what happened? You have a falling out?
Yes, Tommy.
sorry. I didn't know we weren't meant to mention the person you've had a falling out with. Their brother's wife? Now wife. Ex-wife.
Now wife.
Now wife. That's pretty
good. I think
good.
That's a pretty close connection. But how's that one that
no,
I said?
You don't.
I do.
How?
What do you mean?
Someone
was. Do you know someone that was dating Chris Hemsworth?
Someone, she doesn't either. It's too removed. It's too removed from the person she doesn't know anymore.
How's the Margot Robbie one though?
Oh, what was that?
That was Eli's friend. Eli?
Yes, one of my good friends. She used to date this guy and then he left her for Margot Robbie.
Oh, how's that?
Tenuous links to celebrities. Give us a call. I want to hear what is your really tenuous
a friend of a friend's
link,
brother's sister,
yes, to someone super famous. Give us a call. 13 10 60. Thanks, Lizzie. Carrie and
Tommy. Be Thursday, Arvo. It's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy. A little $100,000 is up for grabs when we play the time game very soon. But right now on 13 10 60,
something more pressing.
Tenuous links.
Yes, our producer Lizzie just told us some groundbreaking stuff.
Because we just had Chris Hemsworth on.
And someone she doesn't know,
yep.
They have a brother,
yep.
And their wife,
yep.
Used to date Chris Hemsworth.
Yep. But what about the fact that an old friend of hers once had a skate shop in the 90s and when she had that skate shop in the 90s, she had the opportunity to get Chris Hemsworth to open her store. But she was like, nah, he's on Home and Away. I don't want a kid from Home and Away on.
Oh, didn't he kick on? Showed her.
Yeah,
showed her. The hip hop shop. G'day, Natalie.
Hello.
What is your tenuous link to stardom?
So Sam Sparrow, who sung Black and Gold.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Maybe nearly 20 years ago.
Yep.
Yes. He is my cousin's cousin.
He's your cousin's cousin?
So is he, you know, Aussie? How your cousin...
Is he Aussie?
He was, I'm pretty sure he was born here or they moved over when he was young. To the
Natalie, were you about to explain to us what a cousin's cousin is? Because I love this so much too.
Because yep. I used to say to all my friends, like, Sam Sparrow, that's my cousin's cousin. And they're like, what do you mean your cousin's cousin? I'm like, you know how your cousins have other cousins on the other side of their family? Yeah.
Oh.
I don't actually know what a cousin is. What's
I mean, a cousin is your dad or mum's brothers, so your auntie and uncle's kids.
Right.
But I think Natalie's saying, so say your dad's brother's kids.
Yeah.
They're
really back to tenuous links, aren't we?
Natalie, you're saying then if...
don't throw it onto Natalie.
I don't think I understand.
Yeah, Natalie, can you explain it?
Yeah, so my cousin,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
like, they also have cousins that aren't in my family, but on the other side of their family.
The other side of the tree.
Like dad's side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So have you ever met your cousin's cousins?
I have met some of them, and that's how I found out. So
Did you meet Sam Sparrow?
I didn't meet him, but I met other ones of his cousins.
Oh, you've met Sam Sparrow's cousins. That's pretty good, Nat.
Good on you, Nat.
I really like it. Thanks, Natalie.
Tori, give us the tenuous link that you have to a celebrity.
So I went to school with a guy, this is going back 12 years, who used to tell everybody that his stepbrother was dating Doug Woodrum.
His stepbrother, a guy that you
went to school
saw
with
12 years ago.
His stepbrother...
Yes.
Was dating Delta Goodrum.
That's pretty
maybe.
Good. That's pretty good.
Well, he was, yeah.
He was.
It's not the current dude.
That's only three steps removed.
No, it's 12 years removed from a guy that then someone. I still love it, Tours. It's fantastic. Let's go to Brent. G'day, Brent.
Hey, how you going?
Yeah, pretty good. Welcome to Tenuous Links with Celebrities. What have you got for us?
So my grandmother, her sister is married to Kevin Bloody Wilson's brother.
No.
That's so good.
Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie and Tommy, if you Thursday arvo, and if money feels a little wild, Nab's right there with you. From weekly groceries to the yearly holiday, whatever matters to you, Nab can help wrangle it. Nab, more than money.
Now, every day, 000 call takers do an extraordinary job. Yep. They take calls on so many things, harrowing things, but often you don't, they don't, and we don't hear the outcome of those calls when they've been there in this pressing moment when someone has desperately needed help, and you don't find out then what happened to that story. And Ben and Ashley were forced to call 000 when they had to deliver little baby Evie roadside on the way to the hospital. What you're about to hear is a 000 call. We're going to speak to Ben and Ashley after this 000 call. There were some complications in delivering little Evie to do with the cord. It was quite a stressful time, but the calmness of Ben in this situation, Ashley obviously giving birth, but also the extraordinary job of the 000 call team. Have a listen.
Emergency services, tell me exactly what happened.
So my wife's in labour and her water's just broken. She's feeling like she needs to push.
All right, okay. How many weeks pregnant is she?
39 and 4.
Is she awake?
Yes.
Is she breathing?
Yes.
Yep. All right, so can you see any part of the baby now?
No.
Okay, is she having contractions or labour pains?
Yes.
Yep, okay. Yes. Is this her first delivery?
No, second.
Thank you. All right. Do not try to prevent the birth and allow her to assume the most comfortable position and have her take deep breaths between contractions. Now,
Wait.
Okay, so where are you right now?
With my wife, baby's head's out. I've got
okay. All right. Okay, I understand that.
Okay.
Yeah, baby's head out.
Okay. Okay, keep the baby between the mother's legs and level with her bottom. Is the baby crying or breathing?
Baby.
Is the baby crying or breathing?
I heard her cry.
Yep.
We haven't got a cry yet.
Okay. You're doing a really great job there. Okay, so do you see any obvious problems?
I haven't heard her cry yet.
That's okay. Do you see any obvious problems?
No.
Okay, all right.
We're gonna cry.
That's good. That's such a great job, okay? Now gently wipe off the baby's mouth and nose. Is it a boy or a girl?
Oh,
is it a girl? Good.
Oh, an extraordinary moment to hear. We're going to chat to Ben and Ashley and little Evie next.
Carrie and Tommy. Carrie and Tommy.
Over 300,000 babies are born every year in Australia, but less than 1% of these bubs are born on their way to hospital. And we just heard the 000 audio of Ben and Ashley. Ben delivering little Evie on the side of the road, being caught on the hop on the way to the hospital. Mum and bub and dad are all okay. And I think all three join us now. Welcome, guys.
Hey, how you going?
Hello.
So, first of all, how old's bub now?
She's 11 weeks.
11 weeks. And how is everything going? Are you sleep deprived or are you okay?
Yes, as always. But no, doing better and better each week that goes by. She's a really good baby. We're very lucky.
Well, both of you did an amazing job. I can't believe you weren't screaming more, Ash. You were so amazing. And Ben, you were so calm. Are you normally that calm, Ben?
Oh, I mean, this one was pretty close to home, so I was definitely under the pump.
So this is baby number two. So you have experience in both having a baby in a hospital and also on the side of a road. Which one would you recommend more?
Yeah, that is a difficult one to answer. I don't think we want to repeat the second one, do we?
No.
Well, by the third, don't they say it just pops out, falls out somewhere, so you'll have to get there quick next time.
It comes very quick if we go again, yep.
Now, obviously, having had babies myself, I know this, but there's so many things that can happen when you give birth to a baby, so many things that can go wrong. I know in your case, there was a moment where Evie's umbilical cord was wrapped around her neck. Obviously, we only heard 90 seconds of a longer call there. Did it get quite stressful at times? Were there any moments where you were genuinely a bit worried that you didn't have medical help right there and then?
I really stressed out when, like, she was immediately born with the cord. And then also, like, I forgot about our first son, Archie. Like, he was actually, like, babies are blue when they're first born. But I remember seeing Evie and she was blue, and like just the fear sets in. You go, oh, there's a cord around her neck, she's blue. She didn't come out screaming, like, so there really was a degree of panic there, and you feel pretty alone, like in the dark on the side of the road, like, yeah.
I felt differently. I think that if she had come out, I would have been able to unhook it. I'm very grateful that Joe was there to help us out with that. But no, I sounded not calm, but I feel like I was really in the zone and everything would have been all right.
I was going to say, Ash, what was, you know, and I know in times like this, often your memory is a bit foggy sometimes with such a high intensity situation. Mm. But from what you remember, what was kind of going through your head from when you thought, oh, my waters are broken and I don't think we're going to make it to hospital?
Until she came about, I had full faith that we were going to.
Okay.
We live pretty close to the hospital. It's only maybe a 9-minute drive.
Yeah.
I was in the zone. I did hypnobirthing. I don't know if you guys have heard of that, but I was in the zone. So I just remember feeling okay. And then, and I felt that final sort of surge that you feel right before babies come. And, yeah, that was all over. We had to pull over and accept defeat.
Where were you in, without being too graphic, but where were you in the car? Were you in the passenger seat or the back seat?
I was in the passenger seat sitting, not how you meant to sit.
To the side.
I was leaning against the back of it, like facing backwards.
I think everyone at the moment is moving their bodies around trying to logistically work out. Because I don't know, I mean, my car, people can't even fit in the back seat. And I'm trying to think of trying to do anything other than just sitting in it, let alone.
Yeah. I had my elbows on straddled, I guess, yeah. Against the headrest.
So, Ben, then when you were getting instructions like to check for certain things, I imagine you were pulling yoga moves to try and maneuver yourself to help out as best you can as well.
Oh, I remember leaning over. And like, there's not enough time. Like I had full faith that we were going to get to the hospital, just like Ashley. And then when she was like, oh, the baby's coming. Like by the time I undid my seatbelt, leaned over the center console, we're catching bub. So,
what was that moment for you guys when you saw her for the first time?
Oh,
I was packing my dacks.
I was stoked.
She did a great Ricky Ponting in there, but a great classic catch. But I remember leaning over and just when I first grabbed her, I don't know if you've ever had a very newborn baby, but they're slippery as all heck. So I remember her slipping around on the seat. I was thinking, oh God, please don't go in the footwell, don't go out the door, don't go in the pram. Like,
well, there was a stat here that I didn't know. I think it's 138 babies a year are delivered while on a call to 000.
Wow.
How did you feel in terms of the support you got and the whole experience of having someone and being lucky as we are in this country to have such a service?
Oh, I definitely, like, I'm pretty grateful that we're able to call 000 and have their guidance. And I guess they came like 2 minutes after Evie was born. So whilst I feel really comfortable with how she came about, I imagine it would be really, really scary for Ben and for a lot of other people in that scenario. And then to have the ambulance right there was pretty grouse. Like, we were lucky to go to hospital straight there and then. So we're very lucky in this country to have that sort of support. Hey.
Well, we're so happy that little Evie is well, that you are too, Ash. Good on you, Ben, and to everyone that helped deliver that baby. Team effort by the sounds of it. Congratulations. Thanks for chatting to us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Congrats, guys. All the best.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Where else are babies born? Let's chat to people who've delivered babies that are not midwives or obstetricians.
And we're doing amateur
births. Have you delivered
births?
A baby? DIY births.
Yes, DIY births.
I don't mean like planned home births. Avoid that area. I just mean when you've accidentally been in a situation where even if it's not your kid, you get all hands on deck.
Yep.
You've had to help deliver a bub. Give us a call, 13 10 60.
Carrie and Tommy.
We're talking about
giving birth,
though, in crazy places, helping out when you maybe weren't even the father ready to catch the baby. Yep. You're just on your way to work and suddenly you're helping deliver a baby. We just spoke to Ben and Ashley, who delivered little Evie roadside with the help of a 000 caller. Lola, were you the one giving birth or did you have to help out?
Oh, hi, guys. I just listen to your show every day.
Oh, thanks, Lola.
Yeah, Tommy, you're my hall pass, so I just wanted to say that.
You're mine as well, Lola, in a weird turn of events.
Well, what happened was I was on my way to court. I was a young solicitor, and I had just bought a beautiful cream suit, you know, saved up the money, didn't have any money, saved it up. I'm in the car park opposite the court, and this woman just got out of her door, started screaming and laid down in the car park. And all of a sudden, I could see blood coming out. And I thought, oh my God. So I pulled everything downstairs off. And all of a sudden, this baby appeared and it just slipped into my hands. It was a little girl.
God. Oh, not in the not on the cream suit, Lola.
Well, I took the jacket off to wrap the baby up in the jacket. And the ambulance came quite quickly and she called her Lola.
Oh, what a wonderful story.
A beautiful name, Lola, too. I love that name. Have you ever heard from them since or anything?
I did the first couple of years, but then we lost contact. So I don't know, but it was a healthy baby and she thanked me and all that when we went, to the hospital. Yeah, I had to go out and get a new suit. But the funniest was going across to the court to excuse myself, and I had busted pantyhose, blood all down the front, and I walked into the court and they're just looking at me saying, you'll have to tell His Honour I won't be appearing today. And there was just one look saying, I think you can be excused.
Good on you, Lola. Thank you. Let's go to Shannon. G'day, Shannon.
Yes, hi.
Was it you that was giving birth, Shannon, or was it someone else?
Yeah, it was me. So I woke up one morning and my water broke and I said to my partner, oh my God, the baby's coming. You need to take our other son to his mum's house so we could go to the hospital and everything. But I ended up ringing him back, yelling and screaming at him, you have to come home. This baby's coming now. I rang 000 and I'm like, I'm having a baby now. And they asked me to get on the floor. And I was like, I am not getting on the floor. So I rang my best friend who was studying a dual degree in nursing and paramedics. And I was like, this will be really good for your uni. Can you come over and help me deliver my baby? And she's like, when? And I'm like, right now. And then I ended up delivering my own baby with her help on his bedroom floor within 2 hours. And the paramedics just arrived towards the end. And I was waiting for that cry, which just wasn't coming. And I was like, what's wrong? And my best friend's talking to me. And she's like, it's okay. They're just doing all their checks and everything. Like such a uni student response. But she was like my angel. And then after about 2 minutes, they managed to bring him back. Oh. And he is now a healthy, obnoxious 12-year-old.
Oh, Shannon, how
that
stressful.
That was a real roller coaster,
and what,
Shannon.
And did hubby get back at all?
He got back just before the end, so just before the paramedics got there. But, the story is when we have dinners every now and then, we talk about it. And I keep hearing new parts of the story, but I remember him telling me that he actually walked out of the room after he was born because they didn't think he was going to make it.
Oh, Shannon.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Wow. So he wasn't even there patting me on the head, saying well done or, anything. It was just my best friend. He just left.
Oh, hey, Shan, did it take the paramedics nearly 2 hours to get there?
I think because, so when I told them on the 000 that I was not laying on the floor, apparently in the report I was an irate female, and they ended up sending, but it was peak hour traffic on a Friday morning, right. And it did take them, it would have almost been about, I don't really remember now, sure, but it was just towards the end that they got there. So I had two ambulances and a paramedic, like ICU, intensive care paramedic, yeah.
Jen, well, we're glad that everything's okay. Happy. Absolutely. Yep. What about you, Shelley? Shelley, were you involved in the delivery of a baby?
I was. It was actually my mum's number 6, and I would have been 17 at the time.
Wow.
Labour. My dad had just left for work. She went into labour. We rung dad straight away. He was like so chilled and like, that's number 6. She's an old hand at this. Just she'll be fine. You know, whatever. I'm not coming home. I'm going to work. So off he kept going to work.
What?
That was me in the lounge room with my mum. And from first pain to baby delivered was 47 minutes. I'd called the ambulance. They didn't get there on time. I was holding a baby in my arms literally when they came up the stairs.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
what a moment, Shelley.
That was crazy. Crazy person. Get towels. Throw it out in the lounge room.
What did your dad do for work at the time?
He had his own business in earth moving.
Okay.
Earth moving. Funny. Shelley, was it a baby sister, baby boy? What did you get?
Another baby brother. I've got 5 brothers and 1 sister. So.
Wow. And his name?
His name is Jaden. And he is 30 now, nearly. Nearly 30, yeah.
Well, wow. I'm so glad that, you were there to help because your dad was nowhere to be seen, Shelley.
Carrie and Tommy.
Well, line them up, boys and girls, because I am on the tour.
Oh, you've got a bit of a music fact for us. What song? Give us the song we're going to play that this fact relates to.
7 Days, Craig David.
Oh.
Yes. I've gone off facts.net. Because I was a big early adopter of facts.net.
What is facts.net? I've never heard of it.
I went there because it promised me 31 interesting facts about Craig David.
What are you doing with your time that is what you're doing?
Facts.net.
Oh, did they give you the one about the oatmeal or the muesli?
Muesli.
Oh,
that was
yes.
Muesli.
He loves having... No, wasn't it the one that...
I just think he had a muesli.
Wasn't granola.
Endorsement.
Oh, yeah. He wakes overnight? Up, has a granola, but and then he takes a two-hour nap.
Yes, this is from, he just sleeps.
Yeah.
Like he just
he calls sleeps. It meditating, right?
It was because Mark Wahlberg had put out his day and he was up at 4. And so they asked Craig David and he was like, 4. And then what do you do? Sleep for 2 hours? this is fact number 5. Is Craig David still active in the music industry? Question. Yes, Craig David is still actively making music.
Yeah, didn't he make a song a little while ago that we played?
Does
I feel like we played. No, maybe not.
Is it
sure.
from facts.net?
Okay,
Mary.
Yep.
Is Craig David involved in any philanthropic endeavours? Yes, Craig David is a patron of several charities and is actively involved in philanthropy.
Why are you telling us all this? Who cares?
Because these are from facts.net.
But why are you spending your time thinking about Craig David on facts.net?
Because you told me to.
I did not tell you to.
Eli,
I've told you lots
you
of things.
Carrie
I did not tell you to do that.
Multiple times.
Yes. Oh. And specifically on facts.net?
And specifically on Craig David, not David Craig.
Yes, that's true.
Yes. Mm.
Well, if you were going to fulfill my wishes, can you give me something a bit more interesting?
No, that's all it's got.
I thought you were going to tell me that he was a liar.
Hey? No. No, that was Eli. Play the tunes.
That was nothing. That's not
Carrie and Tommy.
It's your Thursday, Arvo. It's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
It's the best competition in radio.
This is the best competition you've ever had.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Carrie and Tommy's time game.
Oh, mate, you make our dreams come true.
All you need to do is say stop.
Stop.
On exactly 5 seconds. And doing just that, exactly that, could change your life forever. Because today, the time game has jackpotted to...
Let's have a looky here.
It's $100,000.
And today, it's $100,000.
Gary and Tommy's $100,000 time game.
Oh, Natasha, you got lucky today. It's for $100,000. How good would that be?
It would be amazing.
Oh, talk us through it. What are you doing? What's the first thing if you win?
Well, I just recently got engaged, so might get married. Well, we're thinking elopement and then overseas to Europe for 3 months. So
oh, my God,
that would be nice.
That's heaven.
Yes.
Amazing. Yeah, okay, great. Well, we wish you the best of luck. You know how this works. We pass you over to Jesse. He says start, and you say stop at exactly 5 seconds. Are you ready?
Yeah, I am ready.
Start.
Stop.
That felt good.
Oh,
that felt good.
He's exhaled
his lips,
air. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Our little furry friend over there, Natasha, doesn't give it away a lot because for a ferret, he's had quite a lot of Botox, but He has pursed his lips, which usually means
it could also be because it is his birthday today.
It could be. I could be way out as well. Oh, so happy birthday.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Tash.
Yeah, it is. It's Jesse's birthday today. We said happy birthday to him at the beginning of the show.
No, that was Jesse.
Jesse.
You're Jesse.
This is a ferret.
Yeah, that's the other Jesse.
Oh, sorry.
So does that mean it's not the ferret's birthday today?
That's my birthday too.
Is it?
Yeah, we share the same birthday. Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Thanks.
I would have bought it. I've got you these little pants.
Oh, sick.
Yeah, my mum knitted that. Anyway, sorry, Natasha, you're waiting to find out whether you won $100,000 and I'm distracting you with hand-knitted ferret pants. For $100,000, let's find out how Natasha went. Please, Jesse.
5.
Oh, that's a great start.
Point.
Wonderful.
1-6.
No.
Whoa, no, I liked Tash. Here it would have been nice too.
It would have been, well. But she's dead.
Amanda. Hey, Amanda.
Oh, my God. Hello. I'm so nervous.
Oh, my God.
Okay, let's chat to you for a bit, Amanda. Get rid of those nerves because nothing to be nervous about. There's only 100K on the line. I mean, you know.
It's only 100K. You know,
what are you doing with it? What are you doing with it, Mans?
So I will firstly donate to RSPCA because I absolutely love animals and I have to donate. So I have to do that.
So just so you know, Amanda, amazing, but sucking up to us doesn't get you the 100K, but that's amazing that you're going to do that.
Amanda, do you find it weird? Carrie's just not a dog person. Do you find that strange?
Amanda, do not start this. I am a dog person.
I've been listening all week. You guys are hilarious.
I'm a dog person, Amanda. I don't know why I'm getting angry at you, but I'm a dog person, Amanda.
Anyway, Amanda, we hope you win the money. Best of luck. Are you ready to play?
Yes, I am. Let's do this.
Start.
Stop.
Ooh.
So good. That felt so good.
Oh, that was, Amanda, we don't know. We can't see his little stopwatch over there, but that felt for me.
I know.
Good.
Oh, I need to know more about the money. So
I love you, little ferret. You need to let me.
Oh, yes. That's cute. So you're donating to RSPCA to help the likes of our little ferret.
To help the ferret.
What else are you doing with the cash, Amanda?
So I'd love to pay my mum back because she's lent me so much money over the years. So I'm definitely doing that. I'm paying my ute off and giving the kids some cash. And,
great.
Oh, there,
Amanda,
we go.
You sound just lovely. We, as I said, we hope you win. Let's find out. For $100,000, Jesse, how did Amanda go?
4.81.
Oh, no.
I wanted these people to win. They're fabulous. Heidi, are you fabulous?
Hopefully. Okay. I'm praying, Adam.
Heidi, are you going to spend the money on something fun?
Well, I'm helping a friend. She's doing a big fundraiser for breast cancer. So far this is her biggest run yet.
Okay.
And I just want to make it the biggest one she's even done.
I mean, that's
amazing,
a lovely cause.
Heidi.
But any other fun things in there?
Yeah, I'd love to buy the kids like a jet ski and then probably
that's what you want to hear.
They love their kneeboarding.
Let's get you that jet ski.
And I need you guys to have a nice lunch and start late tomorrow because you gave away the $100,000 today.
Oh, yes. Yes, we like that idea, Heidi, too. Again, we have no control over whether you win this money, but ferret boy Jesse does. So he's going to say start. You say stop at exactly 5 seconds and the 100K is yours.
Thanks.
Are you ready, Heidi?
I'm ready.
Start.
Stop.
Ooh, he hasn't moved.
No, it felt a bit long for me. Do you think he's hurt? Does he get hurt when I call him Ferret Boy? Do you think that's what
it is? Yeah, it's so weird.
Well,
it's just a nickname.
I wasn't hurt by that. I don't have any control. It's up to the players who play the game, Carrie.
Yes, but you say you press the stop button,
As soon as they say stop.
Of course. So you're the one.
Now you're very angry at me on my birthday.
It's his birthday. It's his birthday and I forgot his pants and now you're getting angry at him. For a jet ski, how did Heidi go?
So I'm going to do something a little bit different this time.
What?
And I'm going to tell you the final two numbers are 00.
Oh, my gosh. So it's 0.00, which means, Heidi, all you need to hear is a 5.
Oh, my God.
And then you have won $100,000 if that's a 5.
Oh, my goodness.
our little birthday boy for 100 grand, what is the number before the 0.00?
It is 6.
No!
Oh, but that means underpay still an offer tomorrow.
I was going to say one less jet ski on the water.
If you want to play, make sure you're listening to Brekkie.
Follow Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little on socials at Carrie Tommy Show.
Bye.
Bye.
Another wildly entertaining podcast with Carrie and Tommy is all wrapped up. If money feels a little wild, Nab's right there with you. From weekly groceries to the yearly holiday, whatever matters to you, Nab can help wrangle it. NAB, more than money.